Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Riccadonna, and with me as always...
Richie Byrne!
Your producer, Soul Joe.
Today's a very special...
Special show.
Special.
Special guest.
Special guest. We say that every week.
Yeah. That's what I figured. Yeah. I just took it and I'll take it. And
Don't get a big head. Don't get a big head.
But this actually is a special one.
Because it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, it's going to be a different vibe because we always have a comedian.
Yes.
This time we actually
almost
have,
always.
Yeah, almost always. We have Joel on all the time.
but instead, we have a real deal producer from SiriusXM.
Yeah,
how
and
cool.
He has his own show. Introduce yourself because your last name has a lot of dips and dives and
yes.
things.
And your first name's a little wild too, so go ahead.
So my name is Jorge Olivares, but I spell Jorge XORJE. Because I was never meant to have a job after radio. As soon as you see my name on a resume, you're already scared.
And I love when you said your name. You went right from Latino to American when you were spelling.
Yes. That's true. Everyone says that. Like, it comes out full Mexican and full Tejano when I say my name, and then the rest of my speaking is...
Has anyone ever called you in for something and, like, and been like, exorgy?
I've gotten exorgy, I've gotten sorge, and then when I used to do, there's this competition called UIL, I don't know if it's Texas specific, but it's like an interscholastic thing, and you go and compete in different categories, and they called me Quirky.
Quirky?
Quirky. Mm-hmm.
They said somehow the X came out as a K, and I don't...
You're like, not even close.
I think that's me. I'll go get the award.
Quirky.
I think you have the same thing for me with my last name, Riccadonna, with all the letters, even though it's pretty cut and dry what it is. As soon as I see panic in somebody's eyes, I go, you mean me. I'm
Mark. You step in and you're like,
I know
it's me.
And Mark, tell them how you met.
So we actually know each other through the John Fugelsang show.
Mm-hmm.
And we had John on the show here before. And I really wanted to have you on because you have such an interesting
perspective.
Yeah, everything about what you do is a little.
I check off a lot of boxes.
You're getting a scholarship.
Yeah, at some point.
You're our second Latino guest, second gay guest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that we know of. No, I think a couple of these guys that came in were very Latino.
Nice.
Hiding that Latino shitter. I got Latino dar.
If there's an X in Mark, if it ends with a Z, most of the time, it's a Latino.
So something that we do every show is when we start the show, we always ask what you're drinking. What is your favorite drink?
But you were
just on a trip of a lifetime for me.
Yes.
You said it was only 2 days, but that would have been enough for me to get alcohol poisoning.
It was. So the funny thing is I went to Dublin for a couple days, and I'm not really a beer drinker. Maybe this is my Latino coming out, but I'm going through a really big tequila mezcal phase.
Yay.
So everything that I can have.
Just the way you said it made me want it.
With tequila mezcal?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I know what we're doing
about
after
the
show.
There's something about the smokiness to mezcal that's pretty damn good. Well, but I did, and the thing because can you cuss on this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
too late.
Fuck yeah.
You better not fucking swear once.
So the fucked up part was, because I was only there for 48 hours, I didn't have a chance to get tickets to the Guinness storehouse, which is like the thing.
It's the thing to do, baby.
Yeah. So didn't get a chance to do that. Drank a lot of Guinness, but not at the place that you want.
Was
to
it warm?
The
Guinness that's
the one I had. Yes.
That's a big thing over there, right? They don't. They
warm
not.
And they do the nitrous instead of CO2, so it's very thick and heavy.
Interesting.
It does taste differently than the warm.
Have you been there? I've never been to Ireland.
No, I haven't been to Ireland, but I've been to Europe a lot.
Yeah.
That's all their beer they prefer. Yeah. Off of, it doesn't take the CO2. So
why were you there?
I was there for...
He's an alcoholic.
2 days.
And I needed to do it for 2 days.
Lost weekend.
So one of the big things that I do on the side is I am very active in my LGBT church group.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Catholic parish here that has a big ministry. And because of the work that I've done with the ministry, they wanted to include me in this new campaign about LGBT Catholics. And
Well, interesting.
Yes. So it launched at the same time as the Pope being in Ireland. It wasn't attached to that event, but it was trying to capitalize on the coverage that was going on for the event.
Mm-hmm. So bring more awareness.
Yes. Are you the reason he might be getting rid of one of those cardinals?
The funny thing is the organizers of the campaign were very much excited for what was going to happen because we knew that there was going to be a little bit of momentum. And then the Pennsylvania story happened. We're like, fuck me.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't say fuck me.
Oh, true. You're lying.
So I won't say it that way. He booked the triple doubling again.
Poor choice of words.
Fair, it's true. I didn't intend it.
He stayed for 72 hours this time.
I know. But the funny part is I was an altar boy for 10 years.
I was head altar boy. And
were you really?
I'll tell you a story about that. Okay. But finish yours, I'll tell you about it.
I was too ugly.
To be an altar boy?
Yeah.
I always say that I always was really offended that nothing ever happened with my priest.
I was like, I know. Me too. Nothing. I got very angry. I was like, well, I was cute.
Yeah.
He kept dropping the wafers.
I was hitting on him.
As I'm pinned over, you don't want to try? But so the thing is, everybody likes to, especially either if they're evangelical Christians or somebody who just hates the idea of gay people in general. As soon as something happens with like the church abuse scandal, they'll automatically say it's gay priests and that it's homosexuality surfacing in Catholicism and that's what we need to be worried about. Mm-hmm. So because that was happening and that conversation was happening, we knew that there was going to be a lot of attention on our particular group, and there was.
I have to tell you, I didn't know about your – I'm a Catholic. I didn't know about your group. So how does that work? Are you acknowledged by the Catholic
– So it's interesting,
but Richie,
because
you were a Catholic before – was even written.
But I'm saying I'm a Catholic and a lesbian, so you, I should have been aware of that.
He represents group. The L.
Mark calls me, Mark calls me a lesbian all the time because my hair. So let's face it, I'm built like a lesbian.
If you go to Home Depot after this,
I could play third base on any softball team.
Then you're probably a lesbian.
But please tell me about that. I'm very interested in this.
So the church I go to is called the Church of St. Paul the Apostle. It's a Paulist parish. So there's different sections of Catholicism where you can be Jesuit, Paulist. The one back home is the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. There's just different orders. And the Paulist parish is far more welcoming than most of the others. Jesuit too. But this one, about 8 years ago, they launched this LGBT ministry and we've gotten a lot of shit for it ever since. 3 years ago, we did this documentary and oddly enough, the priest that we had at the time had an audience with the Pope, with other people, and he gave the Pope our documentary and supposedly the Pope watched it. I don't know. I'm in the documentary. So if...
Did he recognize you?
I know. I was like, hey. We share the same name. His name is also Jorge.
True.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
True. Now, that's I think that's really fascinating and not something that you told me about Jorge before he came in today.
Well, you don't listen.
I was like, what's up with this guy? And you were like, he's a producer.
He'll like him. Yeah. I knew he was going to be great.
That's awesome.
Now, you're originally from Texas?
So I grew up on the Texas-Mexico border. I grew up in a small town called Eagle Pass. It's about 2 hours south of San Antonio. But when I say literally on the border... Mm-hmm. If you mapped it from my
house...
Like,
if you were there now, you wouldn't get in.
Pretty much. But if you were to map it from my house to the bridge to take you to Mexico, it's less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
But so for the longest time, I've never gone to the dentist in the United States. I've always gone to Mexico. We always buy our candies in Mexico. And
steroids.
That too. And if we ever just wanted to go do dinner outside of our hometown, because the nicest place in our hometown for the longest time was like an Applebee's, we'd go to Mexico for dinner and then just come back.
Wow.
But it must have been tough growing up the way you did in Texas, right?
Latino? So easy.
They're all there.
We're all surrounding each other. The gay thing, I think it was... because it's tied together, the Catholicism and the Mexican thing, mm-hmm. I think that's what made it hard. There's nobody in my family who's gay that I know of. There's nobody in the community. There was like one kid in high school that, thankfully enough, was never, to my knowledge, was publicly bullied or anything. So I always wanted to be him because I wasn't out in high school. I was out to my friends. I wasn't out to everybody else because my dad was a high school teacher.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want
rumors to fly. And yeah.
Even though they did. I mean, I was kind of over it after a while.
So real quick, though, we're joking around about religion. We're joking around about, you know, homosexuality and that stuff. But I think the reason that we can and what makes it where we're having so much fun with it is that we're all cool with it. Like, we're all secure with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're allowed to, like, laugh about it. Like,
yeah.
Joking about, like, I think we're all Catholic, right? Is everybody
My mom was Catholic. My dad was, my great-grandfather was.
His dad's a degenerate.
He was a Methodist minister, so my parents had to decide. So we grew up Methodist. But my mom is now, went back to Catholicism.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it, like, you're secure with yourself and your own beliefs, so you can joke about religion.
That's my thing. My thing is, I always see it both within the context of sexuality and spirituality. I don't need anybody to tell me how to be gay. I don't need anybody to tell me how to be Catholic. If you want to go to church every Sunday and you don't want to go to church every Sunday, that doesn't bother how I become, how I practice my faith.
Your belief with what you have.
Like, I go very much the Catholic thing, except for now because the church that I go to has a very wonderful community. But before, when I would go to church, I would do the Catholic thing where you go in, you do the, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? And you kind of wave to each other. But then once the hour's up,
You're gone.
And there's no mingling. There's no nothing.
You get the communion and just keep
walking. And then you leave. And I think a part of that is good in the sense that you don't really need to be influenced by anybody else to figure out how you should be practicing what's very much your own thing.
I completely agree. Because I feel like when I talk to somebody who's atheist, I'm like, you'll probably win any argument that we have. But there's also, like, a security of my own that I know I believe what I believe, and I don't care if you believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of a... And that's why I think it's so... It's fun, because we can all joke about it. But mm-hmm. if there was spite, I think in any of our joking, it would be a lot harder to joke. You know what I mean? Like, if one of us had an issue or, you know, that kind of thing.
So did you drink tequila in Ireland?
No, I would be that
because
drinker.
you said you were going through the phase, and I thought you just kept it going.
No.
Brilliant segue, my friend. Brilliant.
It was I drank as much beer as I could, and then because I'm gay, I had an amaretto sour.
Because I'm gay, I had an amaretto sour.
The tour guy goes, "I'll take 7 Guinness and an amaretto sour." You figure out who's for who.
I'm there in my like rainbow altar boy attire.
At the end of the bar, go a yoo-hoo.
So the second part of our show is that we do a street joke.
Do you have any jokes? If you don't, it's okay.
You have so many comedians come through.
I know.
But they all are probably under the ruse of, I don't tell street jokes. So.
Yeah. Wait, what's the difference between, like, what's...
A street joke is a joke that you already, you know. It's not something that
anyone can tell.
Right. Like a knock-knock.
Someone always goes, a joke man joke?
Yes.
Okay. Someone goes, have you heard this one? Or maybe you get emailed.
A lot of references to Jackie the Joke Man lately.
He's always on John's show, too.
Oh, is he?
Okay.
Yeah. Can you come back to me on that one?
Yeah.
They ruminate a bit in my...
Do you have overlap with Dean Abadala's show? Like, the same studio?
It's not the same studio, but he's, like, now he's about a few hours after us.
His producer...
But I see him quite a bit.
Do you know his producer, Matt Tomasetti?
Yeah.
We went to high school together. My dad, who we just called the wild card, was our T-ball coach. And, like, literally
that's cool.
College. Baseball.
You want to play T-ball back in college.
That would be good if it was
a small world.
That is a small world.
Richie, do you got a joke for us?
I do.
Let's hear one.
I got to remember it.
No, it was...
I got it.
Calm down.
What did Cinderella do when she got to the ball? Gagged.
That was a dick joke, ladies and gentlemen.
I like that one.
Thank you. It's about as dick jokes get, my friend. It don't get any dickier.
I mean, the audience is right here, so...
You're perfect. I didn't hate it.
What does a stripper do?
Was she okay?
What does a stripper do to her asshole right before she goes to work?
What?
Drops him off at band practice.
Oh, gosh.
Nice. We're Rickadonna's got me all over the place. I'm very fascinated by this, what you're talking about here. Now, how'd you get into radio?
So I did, I was a broadcast journalism major at UT Austin.
UT Austin.
And we, as part of the program, you do three different things. You go into a writing course, and then a radio course, and then a TV production course. So after the radio course, somebody with the radio station came, the campus radio station came to our class and said, who wants to do radio? And I was the only person who raised my hand because everybody wanted to do TV. And because
you're a
of that,
guy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I like TV.
Like me need radio.
Yeah.
The thing about TV, and another part of my story, is the first few months I moved to New York, I worked at ABC News with Good Morning America and World News.
Okay.
And that changed how I felt about TV. But so
I feel your pain, my friend. Go ahead.
Did you work in TV?
I'm in TV now, but I mean.
Yes.
Yes. It can be very.
The thing that I hate about
Jorge
TV.
Jorge worked with Matt Lauer.
did
no?
No. I, Good Morning America. Who was there when you were there?
With Diane Sawyer, and I have a story. I won't get in trouble for saying the story, but
this is what the show's all about. Oh, I see. I can.
Nope. Nobody listens.
We want you to story tell.
Okay. Perfect. Oh, yes. Okay. So, I have two stories, both having to do with ABC, but I'll finish about the radio thing first. So where was I? Oh, yes. So I had my own radio show in college. I did that for 2 years, and then when I moved, my senior year of college, there was an ABC News program that UT Austin was involved in, and I was involved in that. And so ABC said, do you want to move to New York to be a freelancer? I said, sure, why not? So I started working at ABC News and World News, and I'll finish that story right now. But to go to how I transitioned to Sirius XM, because I was a freelancer at ABC News and I was only allowed 6 months before I was going to be hired full time, I was at 5 months, wasn't getting any offers. So I thought, fuck, I need a job. So I started looking around.
Daddy's got to pay the rent.
Yeah. And so I started looking around, realized that I wanted to do radio again. I liked the whole idea of entertainment. So I looked at Sirius, and the job that was open at Sirius was to be an anchor for the LGBT channel. And I thought, well, this is kind of perfect. This has my name.
Yeah,
home run.
Yes. So I applied for the job and then immediately got
I have to tell you something. It's New York. It has a lot of people's name on it. But go ahead.
What do you mean?
A lot of people would be perfect for
it. Oh, yes.
That was a village joke.
I got nervous. I was like, I thought that was pretty clear. But okay, maybe I screwed this up.
So maybe he's never been to Chelsea.
Hell's Kitchen? What's that? they're gay
anyway.
Boots and Saddles.
Right? Which I hate, by the way. Like,
we'll go to
as the Southern Texan boys, like, what are you doing? So.
Mark, great guest.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like I fit in.
What are you doing?
This is hilarious.
So I got the job working on the LGBT channel.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Then eventually transitioned to John. And that's how it became what it became. My ABC story. So two stories with
John
ABC.
Because like I work at ABC Studios.
Oh,
I do the Dr. Oz show down on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the warm up.
Okay. So. The two things with ABC, the first was because I did this program my senior year of college and was already affiliated with ABC, they flew a couple of us to New York to just see what it was all about, be a part of Good Morning America, and to meet Charlie Gibson. So I come with a few other students. UT Austin wasn't the only school. There were a few other schools, but I was the only Latino. And I was like, all right, this makes sense. So we are, it is what it is. So we go and we watch World News and we're on top of the studio and it's, oh my God, it's amazing. We're watching this all happen. And then they said, well, we're going to have an audience with Charlie Gibson. I said, oh, this is even better. So they take us to a little conference room and then I'm sitting towards the end of the circle that we have. So Charlie comes in and I'm getting a little nervous because we're supposed to ask him questions. And so we go one by one and introduce ourselves. So they'll go, hi, I'm Betty. I'm Paula. I'm whatever.
I'm Jorge.
I know. No, and so I said, and I'm sure back then, because I've lived in New York long enough, the accent has gone away a bit, but it was kind of thick. And I was like, oh, I'm Jorge Olivares from Eagle Pass, Texas. And he said, Jorge. What kind of name is Jorge? I've never heard that name before. And he starts like making fun of my name in front of everybody.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, what? what the fuck? Like,
wow.
Were you taken back a bit, obviously?
I was, and because nobody,
I know who he
because,
voted for.
I know.
I'm here on a trip, but where's HR?
No shit. And I was thrown off because nobody knew how to react, so there was a little bit of laughter over here, a little bit of laughter over there, but very stifled, and I wasn't going to say anything.
Like awkward laughter.
Yeah. And so...
When, how old are you at the time?
I was...
20, 21. 20,
21.
Wow.
So, but then it got weirder when he said, and I hate gays.
Yeah. then all of your studio is kind of fired if you do. So many gay people at ABC when I was there. And probably still there.
I was going to say, it probably hasn't changed.
Yeah, straight hasn't changed. And so...
I just know the lesbian. That's me.
He does warm-up for Dr.
For
Oz.
Dr. Oz. And so that left a very bad taste in my mouth. And fast forward several months, I get the job at ABC, but he's not there anymore. It's Diane Sawyer. And because of the way things were working, I was moved from World News. And they told me that, oh, we're not looking to hire somebody for this position because it was a freelance position. So they moved me over to what they call the assignment desk. Now, the assignment desk is where they have all the producers and the reporters, and that's where they send you out to do your stories. And so I get to the assignment desk, and it's me and three black girls. And they said, oh, you probably came from World News, didn't you? And I said, why do you say that? And one of them said, this is where they send us when they don't need us anymore. And I said, are you, like, people of color? And she said, yeah, look around you. Who else is here right now? And it was me and the three black girls. And I said...
And you all had to clean Charlie's house.
Oh, well, so here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
No, no. But so then I said, ugh, I kind of believe that only because of what happened with Charlie. And I told them the whole story about Charlie Gibson. And they said, oh, well, then you should hear ours. I said, uh-oh. Oh, what happened? And so they said when... Allegedly. Just because I don't know what happens. But they said that when a phone call would come in, because that was our job when we were a desk assistant, we would answer the phone like, hi, World News, this is so-and-so. So they would say that when they would answer the phone, and it was for Charlie, that they would say, Charlie, line whatever, Charlie, and like wave about and try to get his attention. But he would never respond until one of the white workers said something. That was their story. I have no way of corroborating that, but I do remember what happened to me. And so that was...
The story checks out.
Yeah. Well...
And you're right.
And so the other thing was when we were when I was still at World News, I feel like I'm all over the place.
No. We're following.
I'm like, all no. balls in the air.
Yeah, on this show, we call that a Rickadonna. But go ahead.
You know how John does ADD hours?
Yes.
That's just the entire time
perfect.
I'm here.
And so when I was still at World News, before they had transitioned me off, they... Charlie Gibson had come to visit the studio, and I think he was expecting this huge warm welcome and everybody to be like, oh, high five, Charlie.
Charlie's home.
And nobody could be bothered. And so he came in and tried to do his like elder statesman type thing and like, hey, nothing. And a party was like, that's what you get, motherfucker.
Wow.
wow. Great. And so that was one of my really not great experiences at ABC. One of my fun experiences at ABC, and I will always sing Diane Sawyer's praises. So the first day I started World News, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm 21, just moved from Texas, literally 2 weeks after graduation. And she comes to my desk and she says, hi, I'm Diane. I was like, whoa. And she says, just so you know, I'll be coming over to you and to the other assistant, Jessica, who's now my best friend. Side story. And about just any news stories. If you have any stories that you'd like us to be working on that we should be thinking about. I said, okay. So I'll always have something in mind. So about 2 weeks later, she comes over to me and she says, what story should we be doing? And I had this story about, I think it was at the time, Stephen Colbert was doing something with undocumented workers. This was 2010. And she said, great. Okay. Like, didn't say she liked it, that she didn't like it. She just said, okay. And she walked away. So later on in the day, all the senior executives and all the producers go into a meeting with Diane and they talk about the stories that they want to be working on. So the meeting ends and everybody comes up to me and said, oh, great story. I said, what are you talking about? They said, Diane said that Jorge had this great idea to do this story and gave you all the recognition for your idea.
God, that's awesome. I was that's like the opposite
of
thinking this business.
That you ever imagined happening. And so I loved her after that moment. And then I loved her again because, so it was el 16 de septiembre, Mexican Independence Day, and we had Diane threw this boat party for all of World News. I think it was just World News. It
might have been previously.
Boat party for Mexicans?
No, it was. But there was Mexican food.
Shouldn't have been Cuban.
There was Mexican food being served. I was like, is this for me? So, because I was the only one. I knew I was the only Mexican. And so we're like having a good time. I'm like drinking a margarita with David Muir and having like a dance party with all these correspondents. And there's one correspondent who I desperately hate who doesn't work there anymore, who works at. I'll
another
get to that story.
Place.
Another place, and is very prominent, that place.
I can't wait for the show to be over so you tell us.
And so...
Dot, dot, dot.
Right? And so we are having a good time, and then my friend Jessica and I, the one who was the other assistant, we're talking to...
Your best friend.
My best friend. And so... who I'm actually meeting her after this. And so we were talking to Diane's assistant, and she says, you know what? We should take a shot. And we're like, all right, let's take a shot. It's all free. We don't give a shit. So she says, but I'm going to get Diane. So she runs to go grab Diane. And she says, and so Diane says to her assistant, what are we doing? And we all look at each other. We say, tequila? And I will never forget. She looked at us and she said, well, where's the salt?
Wow.
And so,
so cool.
She fucking takes a tequila shot with us.
Cool.
And it's so much fun. So not only did
I'm
she
never
like,
gonna look at her the
I
same.
I thought she was gonna say fuck tequila, and you're like, it is in Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah,
so let's not forget that.
I will do a story about this later, Diane. No, so she fucking takes the shot.
It went the
with
other
us,
way. That's perfect.
It was so cool.
The energy must have been.
Yeah, I know, it was great.
So now you're a gay Mexican.
Gay, so, I would say, so my mom gets upset because I say Mexican, but I'm not really Mexican.
You're gay Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
So, Tejano. So you're a big Trump supporter.
So the crazy part is when all the election stuff happened, there was a map that the New York Times came out with that was very detailed about how each county voted. In my community, it's like 99%
of just Texas.
No, 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 of the whole country. So if you were to look up this map and you want to look at your like hometown county, it'll tell you how many people voted. So in my community that's like 99% Mexican, like 2,000 people voted for Trump. And we don't have that many non-Mexicans who live, I was going to say white people, but we have like two black families.
You're not going to offend us.
No, okay. Sure.
We're not allowed to be.
So... This is so much fun. So, so like 2,000 people voted for Trump. In my hometown, we have a border fence, and it's so weird because the border fence is not completed, and it dissects a part of the town that's still, like, it's still several hundred yards away from the river. So we randomly have our 4th of July celebration beyond the fence, on the other side of the fence. So it's like this weird no man's land.
Watch where you're celebrating.
I know. It's like, here's Border
hilarious.
Patrol.
Isn't that an old, like, 50s crooner song? Beyond the fence.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so it's like a weird...
Now,
it's a weird thing.
A buddy of mine, shout out to Spanky, who lives in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He had
Is he gay? If his name's Spanky and he's not gay, then that's
he's
a problem.
Not gay. But he's one of the most fashionable straight dudes I've ever met in my life.
Then it just like literally takes a finger for him. Then he's gay.
You might be able to change his mind with one finger.
That, I've always said that. Like it's your every straight man is one finger away from turning gay. It just like gotta
right,
hit the right
Richie?
Spot.
Richie.
What do I know about men?
I will tell you this: he gave me butterflies by making straight eye contact.
As soon as I did like the finger diddle, and I looked at him.
If he could do that with his eyes, imagine what his finger would do.
Maybe two.
Well, Gino's always said he could turn you.
Gino didn't have Andre. He said he would have had you turned.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good friend of ours told my mom that at lunch.
That he could turn you?
My mom was in the middle of telling how happy she is for him and his current boyfriend, mm-hmm. and she goes, "Oh, I'm so happy for you." And he goes, "This could have been your son. This could have been him. I would have been the best son-in-law."
How did your mom take it?
Very awkwardly.
Okay. But Gino's rich, so she was like, "Damn."
perfect. Yeah.
I would never
have
to have worried about him again.
Yeah. Well, one of our good friends, Adam Lucides, another comedian, he just moved for a girl down to Austin.
And I went to school in Austin.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves it. He like mm-hmm. brags about how great of a city it is, and it's got a music scene and a comedy scene by South by Southwest.
Yeah. I actually have an app on my phone because KUTX is my favorite radio station.
Oh, really?
I listen to it. I love it.
Oh, nice.
I can't get enough of it.
KUT has amazing music, and then
the DJs are great.
The DJs are great. The radio station, the campus radio station, is called KVRX, and if it's still the same slogan, it's none of the hits all of the time. And so it was the most obscure music, which is part of the funky
college
cool
radio.
Part of college radio, but also Austin. The thing that I haven't lived in Austin, and it's been 8 years now. If when all this is said and done, I'll probably move back to Austin. But the thing I know is I'm about to shit on it. the thing about Austin that how I feel now visiting as many times as I do, because I do have to go that way to go home. Austin to me is like the BuzzFeed of cities. Like it knows it's cool and it knows its own hype and it tries to play off of that. And you just want to say, no,
relax.
Like, you were so much better when you didn't try to.
When you didn't know it.
Yeah, when you didn't know that you were the cool.
Now they're posh.
Right.
The girl who's actually should be the prom queen is the one who doesn't even know she's hot.
Right.
Yes.
The girl who knows she's hot is gross.
Yeah.
That's how you got to sleep every night, isn't it, Mark?
With you.
I was the gross girl.
That's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Last call. Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.